When we understand that the substantiality and tangibility of the health, wealth, and happiness of everyday living depends upon our conscious use of the true ideas revealing mind, that this is the only omnipresence, we will be more alert, more pure in our thinking. We will ask ourselves more frequently, consciousness, where art thou? Are thoughts divine or human? That is the important question. We will not have human opinions of right and wrong. We will not think about truth or think truth about objects of sense, for this kind of thinking keeps us in the realm of dimensional and measurable things with their limitations and diseases, rather than in the realm of mind with its ideas of soul. This minute, though we appear to be mortal and human, we are, through our perception or understanding of what is true, the being of God, the man who has dominion over all the earth, mind present as true thoughts or ideas. This is our substance and tangibleness. We are just as substantial, tangible, as our thoughts. We are our thoughts. The mind we use determines our experience. The mind we use determines whether we shall experience accidents, war, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, drought. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "If mortals are instructed in spiritual things, it will be seen that material belief in all its manifestations reversed will be found the type and representative of verities priceless, eternal, and just at hand." Close quote. Miscellaneous Writings. The degree of understanding of what is actually occurring, the conscious being of what we are, reflection, determines our protection. We can do nothing to the accidents, the whirlwind, or the drought. They have no cause, even in belief, because they are not occurring. To endeavor to find a mental reason for the illusion, remember that an illusion is never objective, or to work to protect ourselves from accidents or calamities is mental quackery. There is no objectification to an illusion. The belief is never accident, calamity, limitation, but a belief of two minds, or a mind that can be ignorant of the omnipresence and omnipotence of God, which we call animal magnetism or mortal mind. All is infinite mind, infinitely manifested, regardless of what appears. If the human concept is the divine fact imperfectly apprehended, ignorance, animal magnetism, determining its finite appearance, then there must be an appreciation and a respect for our present concept, for the divine fact that is unfolding as our consciousness, regardless of how incompletely it may be apprehended or perceived. The perfection of all that is may be appearing very incompletely, but it is unfolding, and the human concepts which are this unfolding must be respected for what they are. If we do not appreciate or enjoy what is appearing as our present discernment of good, we would never express any joy or appreciation because we cannot appreciate what is beyond our present perception, and thus beyond our present ability to conceive. When we ignore our present concepts, when we try to shut out or deny what appears objectively, we are really denying the presence of the divine ideas. We must not regard the concept as the real, but as matter, or material objects, it is a misconception and indicates the presence of the real. Quote, "Even the human conception of beauty, grandeur, and utility is something that defies a sneer. It is more than imagination. It is next to divine beauty and the grandeur of spirit. It lives in our earth life and is the subjective state of high thoughts. The atmosphere of mortal mind constitutes our mortal environment. What mortals hear, see, feel, taste, smell constitutes their present earth and heaven." Close quote. And, quote, "In our immature sense of spiritual things, let us say of the beauties of the sensuous universe, I love your promise, and shall know sometime the spiritual reality and substance of form, light, and color of what I now through you discern dimly. And knowing this, I shall be satisfied." Close quote. These are from Miscellaneous Writings. We cannot ignore the belief that humanity is ignorant of true being, that it has accepted a mind knowing both good and evil. Therefore, every demand made upon us to prove that now are we the sons of God is an opportunity to be respected and appreciated, since it is through the disappearance of the illusion that we prove the kingdom of heaven at hand, the kingdom that is within. Healing is the increasing awareness of perfection, rather than the eradication of disease. It is the Christ, or spiritual idea of sonship, oneness, unfolding as our consciousness. Recognizing spiritual unfoldment as the healing process will result in more instantaneous healings. There is an old saying that a watched pot never boils. Thinking of health as the eradication of disease only perpetuates the disease. There may be a so-called cure. Ease and comfort in matter appear, but there can be no permanency to health unless divine ideas are unfolding as our consciousness. We have faith cures, cures through suggestion or hypnotism, cures through medicine and surgery. The definition of cure shows that it has to do solely with the eradication of disease, and in this way, restoring health. We learn in Christian Science that we do not restore health through the eradication of disease. We restore health through the apprehension of truth. To heal means to give a wholeness or purity to cause a cure. So, Christian Science heals. It does not cure, except as it heals. Healing is the curing, but curing is not healing. Quote, correct material belief by spiritual understanding, and spirit will form you anew, close quote, Science and Health tells us. A new image, the image of God, with no disease, because of the presence of a true and perfect idea, this is healing. With a cure, the last state of that man might be worse than the first. The patient might be buried beneath the love of ease in matter, and not question but what this is the ultimate. When the truth was revealed through Christian Science that man is as perfect as God is perfect, mankind was shown that more important than the eradication of trouble, the healing of disease, is how disease is healed, and that this governs the permanence of health and happiness. For generations, healing has been sought through human effort, and health was still elusive, short-lived, and remote. Christian Science presented a new method, a method which had primarily nothing to do with disease. The textbook informs us, quote, the mission of Christian Science now, as in the time of its earlier demonstration, is not primarily one of physical healing. Now, as then, signs and wonders are wrought in the metaphysical healing of physical disease. But these signs are only to demonstrate its divine origin, to attest the reality of the higher mission of the Christ power, to take away the sins of the world. Close quote. Having thought objectively for so long, our old habits of trying to eradicate something were too strong for us. So we have been trying to make the liar into a truthful man, the thief into an honest man, a drunkard into a temperate man, a sick man into a well man, by Christian Science treatment, just as we did in the past with a surgical operation, a dose of medicine, an aspirin tablet, or any other human means, forgetting that this is a science and is remedial only when its principle is used. When one ceases to associate health with better body, one will retain his health or regain it. The psalmist speaks of the health of our countenance being our God. An awareness of truth, a knowledge of God, is health and is what banishes disease permanently. When we put Christian Science treatment on the same plane as an aspirin tablet, a surgical operation, or any so-called human steps, we have put it on as human a plane as there is, and it really ceases to be Christian Science. Christian Science is not a medicine, nor a method of treating physical or mental ills. Christian Science, in Mrs. Eddy's words, is, quote, the law of God, the law of good, interpreting and demonstrating the divine principle and rule of universal harmony, close quote. Rudimental Divine Science. Christian Science is the science of the oneness of God and man, God manifesting himself as man, cause present as effect. Therefore, To think of Christian Science as remedial is a denial of the science. Yet Christian Science is so remedial when properly used that it, quote, changes the secretions, expels humors, dissolves tumors, relaxes rigid muscles, restores carious bones to soundness, close quote. Quote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Close quote. The wish for and love of material ease is not rising from the dead, from materiality. And yet, spiritual understanding will reveal material ease beyond our greatest hopes. The science of health, which is unassailable, is the divine fact of man's coexistence with God. Unless this fact is accepted and understood, an individual will suffer as the world suffers and will be cured as the world is cured. There is no healing there. The practitioner or a patient who wants an instantaneous healing will never think of results in the usual meaning of that word. The results have nothing to do with either practitioner or patient. To acknowledge truth or God is to consciously be, and this is result or effect, which the world calls healing. Expectancy is not expecting something to come to pass. It is acknowledging everything to be what it is. Mrs. Eddy speaks of the correct view, the one mind present, beholding the infinite expression of itself. This is omnipresence. This mind present as the mind of both practitioner and patient. This mind, our mind, his mind, has nothing to do with effects or results, because it has nothing to do with the phenomena of personal sense. It could not be conscious of healing a claim any more than it could be conscious of the claim. Quote, what God knows, he also predestinates, and it must be fulfilled. Close quote. No and yes. We hear much about human footsteps. This human footstep is scientific, or that human footstep is not scientific. We must take human footsteps. Yet Jesus said, quote, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Close quote. Do no human thinking. A human footstep is humanity's highest concept of what is true or best to do at a given moment. It is never scientific or unscientific as a human footstep. As truth unfolds, becomes clearer, as divine ideas occupy human consciousness, our human means and methods improve. When we work from the altitude of mind or principle, the oneness of mind appears as guidance and direction in human affairs, improved human footsteps. An improved belief or a human footstep is not the demonstration. Yet, divine ideas unfolding as consciousness demonstrate their presence as improved beliefs. If we realize that the divine ideas appearing as improved beliefs are divine ideas and not improved beliefs, there could be no relapse, nor would we question in any way the form or outline of the improved beliefs. When, through better apprehension of truth, certain means and methods are outgrown, one no longer uses them. This is not, however, abstention, or repression, or prohibition, or human will. It is growth spiritward. It is unfoldment, the reformation which comes as the inevitable result of truth unfolding as the one and only consciousness. A dependence upon material means or steps as a healing agency is misplaced dependence due to ignorance, a misunderstanding. A dependence on material means for our living, our supply, is misplaced dependence. The material means appear in accordance with our present understanding of truth. Those who are troubled over what is right or wrong in their experience, or what is scientific or unscientific for their neighbor to do, have no compunction of conscience when eating dinner, or going from one place to another in an automobile, or wearing clothes, etc. Therefore, to be critical of our neighbor, or condemnatory of ourselves, because we have not proved exemption from certain other material steps, and use other material methods without condemnation or criticism, is not consistent. So far as the science is concerned, it is no more scientific to go to a dentist than it is to the doctor. We simply have perceived enough of truth to exempt us from the medical man, from that human footstep, and not enough to exempt us from the dentist. Many sincere persons are endeavoring to know something about God and His righteousness, and yet have not proved their freedom from certain so-called material laws of health. It would be most unwise for them to disobey these laws until, through better apprehension of truth, these laws cease to govern them. Up to date, we do not seem to have proved entire physical freedom without a certain amount of exercise, fresh air, wholesome food, warm clothing, etc. So, we take exercise, the fresh air, the wholesome food, not because they have anything to do with our well-being, but because we have not proved that they do not have anything to do with it. If one is habitually careless in one's posture, or has sat constantly in an abnormal position until a bad habit is formed, one needs to make a conscious effort to sit correctly. Also, a conscious effort to stand correctly, even to the point of perhaps taking some exercise for correct posture, until one has sufficient spiritual understanding to prove freedom without any human effort or endeavor, or sufficient spiritual understanding not to indulge the bad habit. As long as we apparently have a human body, we cannot be careless or neglectful in our physical habits. What is true of the physical habits is also true of mental habits. Suppose one is habitually resentful, fearful, critical. He has learned through Christian Science that man has no mind but God, that man lives, moves, thinks as reflection. The mind which is God could not find in itself any anger, fear, criticism. And yet, one still appears to get angry, is still fearful. He has also learned in Christian Science that mortal mind is the culprit, and that he cannot correct mortal mind of its anger and resentment and fear. But what is his next step, when apparently his understanding of the fact that his mind is God, and therefore the qualities of that mind are his, is not sufficient to reject the belief of mortal mind with its anger? He must use the best sense of discipline, or human will, he has demonstrated, and endeavor to overcome the habit. But this is not Christian Science. It would be inconsistent with Christian Science to tell such a person that he could not have Christian Science help until he was through with that particular human footstep, which was his highest concept of truth at that particular moment. It is no more scientific to try to overcome the anger through will or discipline than to take the exercise, the wholesome food, the general good bodily care or hygiene. Neither method is the science of the Christ. Both are makeshifts, but they are less evils. It is certainly much less limiting to oneself, and more pleasant for one's neighbor, to control anger, criticism, etc. And it is likewise much less limiting to take exercise, to eat good food at normal intervals. We act always from the standpoint of our present discernment of truth, doing the best we can, but think always on the basis of our revelation. Until our demonstration coincides with our revelation, our human with the divine, this apparent duality in our life will continue and cannot be ignored. This duality disappears in the measure that the one mind is demonstrated.